is here among us. Let us all adore God, and with awe appear before God. God is here within us, soul in silence fear God, humbly, fervently draw near God. Now God's own, who have known God in worship lowly, heal their spirits holy. Come abide within me, let my soul like Mary be thine earthly sanctuary. Come indwelling Spirit with transfigured splendor, love and honor will I render. Where I go here below, let me bow before thee, know thee and adore thee.
Amen. Amen. How very good and pleasant it is to dwell here in the house of the Lord, which is here, right where we are. The house of the Lord is all around us and in the space where we are right now. We're gathering together in this way, in this virtual setting, to worship God. And I'm glad to welcome each of you to this time of worship at Tabernacle United Church. We're glad you're here this morning, and I want to first introduce myself. My name is Pastor Katie Akins. I'm the pastor here at Tabernacle. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm really glad to be here this morning with you all, and especially to welcome all of you, and particularly those of you who might be visiting with us for the first time. We're glad you're here, and thank you for being here with us. If you can introduce yourself, if you're new, we'd love to hear that you're here. So if you could introduce yourself through the chat feature, we'd love to see your name and know that you're with us. You can also fill out our visitor card, which we'll put in the chat, and you can go there perhaps after the service and take a moment to fill out that visitor card. Let us know you're here and a little bit about yourself, and we would love to connect further. So welcome to all of us on this day. I wanna share a few announcements this morning. I'm actually first going to hand it over to Lucinda, who's going to share her announcement about the community meal coming up. So Lucinda, go ahead. Okay, we're taking just a moment here. We're going to try to figure out how to unmute Lucinda. While we're doing that, let me just go ahead and share a couple things about this week, and then we'll come right back to Lucinda. This week, just a reminder that we're meeting on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We continue to do that on Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30 in the morning to pray. So we do that on Zoom. If you are new and haven't joined us before for that time, we'd love for you to join us for a time of meditation and gathering in prayer on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Let us know if you need a link for that or need to get on the listserv to be able to do that. We also, just a reminder that this week we will not have Bible study. We're on a one week off schedule with Bible study now. So we won't be meeting this Wednesday, but we will be meeting the following week. Also, a reminder that we're continuing with our abolition curriculum. It's not today, but we will be meeting for our next session next Sunday. So if you want to mark your calendars for that, we will continue on with our curriculum, Defund the Police, an abolition curriculum from the Mennonite Church next Sunday. It looks like we're having trouble with the unmuting for Lucinda. So let me just highlight that we are in fact having our community meal on Saturday. And how about we just, we're gonna put out some information actually when we figure out the unmuting process. Lucinda, perhaps you can share with us at the end of the service some details of that. If you've probably seen the email go out for a need for help or volunteers for that meal. So we will talk about that a little bit later in the service. We'll just circle back at the end and we'll get more information to you. So let's continue now in our worship, and we're gonna now move into our call to worship.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sana del Corazon. I use she, her, hers pronouns, and I'm your liturgist this morning. I'm currently in Ames, Iowa, so hi from Midwest. Please join me in the call to worship. Come into this space and be here now. Let us lift our voices to worship. We sing an offering of praise to you, Holy One. Open all of our hearts, minds, and ears to listen to God's word and wisdom. We come together because we cannot be Christian alone. Creator, speak through us and in spite of us. We confess because our world needs honesty. Redeemer, keep our palms open to receive your goodness. We give because giving bends our hearts towards gratitude. Sustainer, let us live in this world as people of justice, peace, and humility. We pray because hope needs a voice. We are the body of Christ, and may our whole body glorify you. We worship you because you alone, God of liberation, are worthy. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, we will sing some songs that I was thinking of having to do with water for these two opening songs. I hope this water can be an image of rest and of comfort to you as we enter this service, and I invite you to imagine the things that the songs are describing. Let's sing together first this song, Come to the Wild, by Pastor Katie Akins. Let's sing together.
Come to my river, bathe in waters of grace. Don't hold on to your shame or your past mistakes. Healing water, moving freedom, washing my grace. Come to the wild meadows of my design. Find your place in creation. Watch the birds in the sky. Touch the leaves. Feel the breeze. Here you belong. Take courage, step in, I have carried you through. Remember the purpose I have placed on you. Fly on the wings of your ancestors' songs. You belong. You belong. of a tall maple tree. Find my roots that grow down, holding tree next to seed, holding in, holding on, here you belong. Take courage, step in, I have carried you through. Remember the purpose I have placed on you. Fly on the wings of your ancestors' songs. You belong. You belong.
Amen. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. My feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed and won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. Please join me in the opening prayer. You said, "This is my body for you," as you tore that bread into pieces, passing nourishment from you to us. And we long to say the same, dear God, that this is our body serving you, worshiping you, seeking you, because with our bodies comes our hearts and our minds, our souls and our scars. We long for a faith that needs all of us, but we tend to get stuck in just our heads. Guide us, O God. Make a clear path that will lead our wandering hearts to the womb of the tomb and that promised day where new life finds us like the sun's warm rays, and we are forever changed because new life does not leave us the same. Embodied faith, loving and free. This is our prayer, God. Take all of me. Please join me in the prayer of confession. For today's prayer of confession, we will pray with our whole selves, mind, body, heart, and soul. Jesus of Nazareth walked this earth, singing and giving to those in need, the Samaritan woman, the child, the blind man, the Pharisee. Yet too often we close our eyes, allowing fear or prejudice to hold us back. If we have ever ignored someone who is in need, please close your eyes. Jesus modeled a life of grace, whispering from the cross, "Abba, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even with his example, we struggle to live lives of grace, often speaking words of hostility and shame over forgiveness and patience. If you've ever dealt harshly with someone, embracing hostility instead of peace, or shame instead of grace, please clench your fist. Jesus gave thanks before breaking bread, modeling a life of gratitude before consumption. However, we easily find ourselves in entitled mindsets and habits, taking this earth and God's creation for granted, consuming before caring. If you've ever chosen consumption without gratitude or comfort over care, please cross your arms. Jesus said from the cross, "Behold your son, behold your mother." It was a reminder that we belong together as all of us are made in God's image. However, too often we forget that we are worthy of belonging, denying God's image in ourselves or others. If you've ever been ashamed of who you are or have denied the divine image in another, bow your head. If your eyes are still closed, please open them. If your head is still bowed, please raise it. If your fists are still clenched, release them. If your arms are still crossed, uncross them. For God's grace is for all of us, no matter who we are or what we've done or left undone. Friends, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. This is what the kingdom of God feels like. Eyes open, heads up, and unclenched, bodies connected in grace and in love. In Jesus Christ, we are so free. Thanks be to God.
True word, I ever with thee end. and thou with me, Lord. Thou my sole shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power.
And now let us take a moment to extend grace and peace to one another. So let's go to gallery view, and you can unmute, hopefully, and let's share the peace of Christ with each other. And may the peace of Christ be with all of you.
And with you.
And thank you.
So with you.
Also with you.
And also with you.
Peace to you all. This good morning.
Peace, everyone.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace to you, Peter.
Everybody. Peace be to everyone.
Peace be with you all.
Peace to you, Mitch. Good morning. Good
morning. Santa, so great to see you from Iowa.
Great to see you.
Sarah. And Jennifer and Rose, peace be with you.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. Hello, hello.
Susan Wargo, so great to see you again.
And you.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Morning.
Hi, friends.
Yeah. Hi, Ginny.
Hi. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Peter.
Peace to you, Ed. Good morning.
Peace be with you.
Hi, Priscilla.
Good morning.
Peace.
Peace.
Your voice, as always, just touches me.
Mm. Well, thanks for telling me that.
Santa, the corn must be getting high in Iowa, isn't it?
It's high in Illinois.
Must be time for harvesting. Actually, we're in Maryland right now, and you drive down almost any road in Maryland, got nothing but corn on one side and nothing but soybeans on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Auntie Laura.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
Peace to folks on porches. Lynn.
Yeah. Thank you, Fletcher, but I know you're out there somewhere. Peace to you.
Hi, Ed.
Whoever that was. Didn't recognize
the voice. Greg.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Ken. Hi. Hi, Jennifer and Rose.
Welcome.
Our first reading comes from Mary Oliver, musical notation number 2. Everything is his, the door jamb, the wood stacked near the door, the leaves blown upon the path that leads to the door, the trees that are dropping their leaves, the wind that is tripping them this way and that way, the clouds that are high above them, the stars that are sleeping now beyond the clouds, and simply said, all the rest. When I open the door, I am so sure all this will be there. And it is. I look around. I fill my arms with the firewood. I turn and enter his house and close his door.
This is the time in our service where we invite children and anyone else who would like to join to come closer for the children's time. And if you'd like to be part of the smaller group for that time, you can go down to the reactions button on the right-hand side of your Zoom menu and raise your hand. Let's sing to invite those folks forward.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
Hello. Good morning. This morning, I loved our prayers so much because they spoke about bread and being the Jesus being the bread of life and us going out into the world and sharing that, because one of the other stories today comes from the book of John. It's a story of how Jesus had been going around with his disciples and he had been performing different miracles. He had been healing sick people. And so there was a crowd that started following him because they wanted to see, you know, what was he going to do next? And, you know, maybe he could do something for them. Some of them might've thought, or some of them might've just been like, well, this is interesting. I'm just going to see what happens. So just like in Philadelphia, the area that Jesus was in was near an ocean. It was near a sea. So some of the things that people ate often in that area were fish. So if you like fish, I know a lot of people don't like fish. If you like fish, raise your hand. I'm going to show you two of my favorite kinds of fish. I'm going to hold this up so you can see it better. This is a fish called an anchovy. You can see it's a really tiny, small fish. And anchovies are oftentimes kept in a tin. So when I'm going on a picnic, sometimes I like to take a tin of anchovies with me. And they're a very, very strong flavor fish. They have a lot of salt in them. So sometimes they're really good by themselves. Some people like them on pizza and other people are like, oh my goodness, that fish is too stinky for me. So here's another kind of fish I like. It's called lox. It's made from a fish called a salmon, and you dry it out and then you can pack it. So in this story that Jesus was with all these people who were following him, his disciples looked around and said, gosh, there's so many people that are waiting to hear what you say. And Jesus, we don't think that we're going to have enough to feed all these people. And that was really important because in those times, the people also lived in an area that was a little bit different from Philadelphia, and that it was more of a desert. And if you live in a desert culture, you know how important it is and around the world that when you're to gather together with others, you share food with them. You don't let people go hungry and you don't let people go thirsty because it's hard to find food and water. So if they are gathering with you, it's your job as a host, basically. And it's, and as loving your community to provide those things for them. So they looked around and they saw that there were only two small fish. And they also had bread, because bread is kind of around the world. This is one of my favorite kinds of bread. It's a rye and a pumpernickel. And you know what? If you put this lox on it, it's really good. But so they looked around and there was only one loaf of bread and two small fish. And they said, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed these people? And Jesus said, you know, don't worry about it. And he said a blessing over the bread, like you might see us do at church sometimes when we take communion, we do a blessing over the bread. And he said, okay, pass it around. And they passed around the fish and the bread. And you know what? Even though there was, it says a multitude of people, so that probably means like hundreds of people there. There was enough for everybody to eat. And some people think, wow, that was a real miracle. And other people think, like, you know, we talk about being the body. The bread is the body of God, and we are Christ's body in the world. So we go out and share that in the world. Some people think, you know, it was a miracle, but part of the miracle was probably, you know how if you go to a picnic, you might take a little bit of something and you're like, oh, I'm going to keep this for myself. Maybe you have something like you really love, like, oh, I never get to eat M&Ms except for on this picnic. So I'm going to take some M&Ms. But I'm not going to share. I'm just, because I never get to eat M&Ms. I'm going to keep them for myself. But then you get there and you see that there are people who don't have anything at all to eat. And you're like, well, you know, I think I can share some of my M&Ms with them. I think that would be the right thing to do. So whether Jesus created more or whether the people feeling the Spirit shared the things that they had, everybody was fed. So what I like to think is We don't see Jesus walking around in our life, but we can feel Jesus in our heart. So we can still be Jesus in the world. So when we are out and we are gathered and we know we're going somewhere, we can take a little bit more to eat, or we can eat a little bit less and share with others so that everybody has something to eat. So I would like to end with a prayer. Dear God, when we go out into the world, help us to remember to see those who might need a little something extra. And if we have that little something extra, help us remember to take it with us and to share with others. And if we don't have things to share, help us to share our love, because everybody needs a little love. Amen.
This morning, this hymn, I Am the Bread of Life, is one of the only songs that I know that I think can be sung by a group of people easily about bread. So I invite you to learn this song if you don't know it already and sing together.
Come to me shall not hunger, and who believe in me shall not thirst. No one can come to me unless my parent beckons, and I will raise you up, and I will raise you up, and I will for the life of the world. And if you eat of this bread, you shall live forever. You shall live forever. And I will raise you up. And I will raise you up. And I will raise
Scripture reading for this morning comes from John's Gospel, chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 51 and read all the way through 61. So I'm going to add just a few verses there on the end. Verse 51 through 61. Let's hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And this is Jesus speaking. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews debated among themselves, asking, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I assure you, unless you eat the flesh of the human one and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. As the living parent sent me, and I live because of the parent, so whoever eats me lives because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It isn't like the bread your ancestors ate and then they died. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Many of his disciples who heard this said, "This message is harsh. Who can hear it?" Jesus knew that the disciples were grumbling about this and said to them, "Does this offend you?" This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, this does offend me, your word this morning. Help me to sit with the offense of the gospel. Help us to sit with that, wrestle with it, and hear what you are trying to teach us and challenge us with. God, I pray that you would speak through me and that you would speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Amen. The gospel this morning from John is literally and figuratively about flesh and blood. If you felt yourself cringe a little bit just hearing the gospel read, well, then you're in good company. I felt that too. The text takes us in our imaginations to an uncomfortable place. Imagine eating Jesus. Unless you eat the flesh of the human one and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And again, he says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." And in case you missed it the second time, here it is again for the third time. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." As my son Oscar would say, that's weird. That's weird. And in fact, Jesus' disciples say something to that extent. They say, "This message is harsh. Who can hear it? This message is difficult. Who can accept it?" And Jesus knows they're struggling with it and then asks the question, "Does this offend you? Does this teaching, does this message offend you?" That word translated offend in Greek is the word scandalon, which is where we get our word scandal. And in the Greek word refers actually quite literally to scandal as to that word refers to a snare or a trap. Sometimes in the Bible, you'll hear the phrase, the stumbling block. And that's that word scandal again. And it's often a word used in the Gospels to describe people's reactions to Jesus and his teaching. It's scandalous. It trips people up. To use a modern kind of phrase. "Is this a stumbling block for you?" Jesus asks. Well, if I'm honest, we're honest perhaps, I think we would say and we would confess, yes, this message is difficult. It makes us stumble. Can we on any given day hear it? Can we hear it today? But what does it mean? What does it mean to eat your flesh and drink your blood? Clearly, this message is not literal in the sense that we are to eat Jesus's earthly flesh, and yet we can't get away from the bodily, material, fleshy reality in that metaphor that is offensive in the first place. It is literal in a sense. It's a mystery. But it's provocative and it's difficult. What does he mean? I would say that part of what he's getting at is the scandal of the incarnation, the scandal of the flesh. It's the scandal that people had such difficulty with in Jesus' day, that Jesus, who was so clearly human, how could he be of God? How could he be God? People would say, isn't that Joseph's son? You know who his parents are, right? You know, people would say stuff like that. You know, he's human. He's too human. Jesus couldn't possibly be so human and be God. And I'd like to suggest that we stumble over this message just as much as the first disciples did. Sure, we can talk about the doctrine of the incarnation, which is, you know, something we have, and we're many years later, we can talk about these things. But what are the implications of saying that, of the incarnation, for our faith and our life? If the flesh and blood of Jesus is holy, then the flesh and blood of human beings, as the body of Christ in the world, are also holy. And it's even more expansive than that. The flesh of non-human life is also holy and carries the spark of the divine. And if that's the case, that means that bodies matter. Material life matters. Material physical bodies of humans and non-humans matter to God, and therefore matter to us. And that right there is where the gospel starts to get uncomfortable, because it means something is demanded of us in terms of how we treat bodies. It's much easier. It's much more comfortable if we take God out of this world. If we take God out of this world and put God into another world, it's easier if we put God in a future place. Sometimes we talk about eternal life as this life meaning elsewhere, a future place. But eternal life in the Bible and in John's gospel in this context is not primarily about another life after this one. It's about experiencing a quality of God's life in the here and now as a present possession. And yes, it is promised for later too, but for a believer's faith, eternal life is like the kingdom of God is something that is near you. In fact, the sentence that we heard, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, is better translated from the Greek as whoever is eating my flesh and drinking my blood is having eternal life. Is having eternal life. So for you English language people, if you hear the it's the present indicative active tense of the verb to have. So meaning that the action is happening in the present time. Is having eternal life. You can trace throughout our history just how much we have stumbled over the scandal of the incarnation. So much so that entire theologies were developed to try to get around the discomfort of it. The most obvious example is in the American context, where people of European descent had a strong desire to remove native peoples and to hold slaves and to be Christian all at the same time. The only way they could do this was to take Jesus out of this world and emphasize that all God and Jesus care about is the individual status of the soul in the afterlife. And we made eternal life be about a future disembodied life somewhere else, certainly not here. Think about that. Think about the legacy of this kind of theology in our country and in our churches. We have been stumbling over the incarnation over and over again. It's too harsh. Who can accept it? Now, Aubrey Hendricks Jr., who's a theologian and pastor, he wrote the book, The Politics of Jesus. He gives an example of someone who stumbled at first, but then God got through to him about the incarnation. And he talks about Robert Carter III. Has anyone ever heard of Robert Carter III? He's not a very well-known person. He was actually, he was born in 1728, and he was a member of America's colonial aristocracy. He lived next to George Washington. He was a friend of Thomas Jefferson, and other members of the revolutionary elite. Little known fact, he was the richest of all of them, and he held more enslaved people than Washington and Jefferson combined. Robert Carter III had a conversion experience when he got sick with smallpox. This experience led Carter to embark on a religious quest. And in one letter that he wrote to Thomas Jefferson, he said, "I do testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that through him, mankind can be saved." Okay, so here you have a profession of faith. We've heard that kind of thing before. But those words that he penned and that experience that he went through went beyond words and pious posturing. In 1791, September 5th, Carter wrote a document called A Deed of Gift, whereby he freed every enslaved person that he owned, 500 of them. It was the largest number of enslaved human beings ever freed by anyone in America. And he didn't just free them, he made provisions for their support during their transition to freedom, including housing that had been given to white people, he made available for them. The point is that something happened to Robert Carter's imagination when he was converted. There was something in the gospel that demanded a freedom for bondage for those who were in captivity, not in the afterlife, but in the here and now. And that holding human beings as property is anti-gospel, anti-Jesus, and a moral abomination. The scandal of the incarnation, it got through to him. And here is an example of one who had stumbled over the gospel until God got to him in a moment of vulnerability and suffering, which is sometimes the only time we will listen and open up to where God, what God is trying to say to us. When we are aware of our own humanity, our own fragility, and our own needs, God got through to him, and Robert Carter's faith became embodied because the gospel is incarnational. It became centered for Robert Carter III on this world where God is. I sometimes think of the gospel like an itchy sweater. Sometimes that's exactly what the gospel feels like on your body. It irritates you because it touches your skin. It touches your body. It has to do with your life. It has to do with eternal life beginning now, the quality of God's life in the here and now, not just for you, but for the flesh of your neighbors, for the flesh of the whole world. The practice of twisting and contorting the gospel to get away from the scandal of the flesh is centuries old. We don't want a this worldly gospel. We don't want a God who places responsibility for us to care for the flesh of this world. We don't want to share our wealth. We don't want to go to the prisons. We don't want to believe that when Jesus says, "I've come to set the captives free," that he could actually be talking about the freedom of those who sit today in Muncie Prison in Pennsylvania, or to the people who are actually sitting in the detention center in York, Pennsylvania. It's too specific, it's too material, it's too close to home, to our skin. We don't want that. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, and that is the struggle. That is the challenge, I think, of this word. It's why John and Jesus in this passage keep saying it over and over again, ad nauseum. What it keeps saying, if you don't eat of me, if you don't take me whole, you will not have eternal life. You will not have eternal life, the quality of God's life in the here and now. Let me just say lastly here that We need to talk about the Lord's Supper, because you can't read this passage and not think about the Lord's Supper, make the connection with the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a practice that was instituted by Jesus himself and by the early followers of Jesus. It became a central practice in the life of the early followers. And of course, we continue on that practice. It's one of our sacraments. Think about what we do in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We actually practice putting on this uncomfortable theology. It's the uncomfortable theology of the incarnation that we practice putting on when we engage in the Lord's Supper. We eat and we drink the blood and body of Christ. We're not actually eating his earthly physical body, and yet we are mysteriously ingesting Jesus because we believe that he is mysteriously present here among us. Do this in remembrance of me over and over and over again. Munch on my life, chew on my teachings, swallow me whole. Let's not spit Jesus out and put him in another world. Let's feel the wool touch our skin. Let's allow the irritation of the gospel to push us further and further into the world and into love of the world. Because remember, God so loved what world? This world, the world we're in. God so loved this world, everything in this world. And as Mary Oliver says so beautifully in her poem, everything is his. Everything is God's. The door, the doorknob, the wind, the trees, everything is God's. So for God so loved this world, let's not spit out Jesus and put him somewhere else. Let's munch on his life. Let's chew on his teachings. Let's swallow him whole. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Siblings, we are a scandalous people. We seek eternal life. We're not individuals, but multitudes. We are here. We are connected to each other and to God. And the gospel is not a rational concept to be explained in a theory of salvation, but about a story about God's presence in Jesus. Through Jesus, incarnated, enfleshed. And we now have the opportunity to share our resources with one another and with those in this community. Come co-create. Let us bring forth our offerings in the common pursuit of liberation, of remembering that sharing our resources is the heart of the story of Jesus. May our faith be embodied. May it be enfleshed. To give electronically, you can text any amount to 84321 or visit tabunited.org/contribute.
I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna work so God can use me anywhere. Can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime, anywhere, Lord, anytime. Praise God from blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost.
Loving God, thank you for this opportunity to allow us to be scandalous people, to share in our abundance. Because you have blessed us, we have much to give. Thank you for allowing us to give with our whole hearts, our whole bodies, our souls, to support the things that matter. These offerings express our gratitude and our aspirations to be more fully your body. Bless them and use them accordingly to your will. Amen and Ashe.
Amen. We're going to continue now with our prayers in our time of sharing joys, concerns, and testimonies. So this is a time where we open up the space for you to share. If you have something on your heart that you'd like to lift up, prayer for yourself or for someone else or a situation, this is the time to open up and be sharing our what's on our hearts. So take a moment to do that if you'd like in the chat feature. And in just a moment, Gwyneth will read those prayers out loud for us as we lift them up to God and lift them up to one another to be holding and sharing and carrying together with God. So let us come now and pray.
From Ed, we lost my Uncle Will to the COVID virus last week, and his wife My Aunt Anna is still in the hospital recovering. My uncle was the closest I had to a father when I was growing up. Neither of them were vaccinated, and they lived in Florida, where the state government is still actively fighting against any protective measures. Please pray for their 5 children and my aunt's recovery, all the rest of his family and friends who are devastated by their loss. Please also pray for me, because the senseless loss could have been prevented, and I'm very angry at all anti-vaxxers and anti-maxxers, and I don't like myself when I vent this anger. Please also pray for all the people of Florida. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Ginny, prayers for Jim Thacker, who is in Einstein Hospital awaiting medical clearance to undergo surgery on an infected toe. Prayers for Jim, Maureen, and Jorge. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Elizabeth and Ray, please pray for my godparents, Bob and Pam, who lost their son to suicide. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Lucinda, praying for my Afghan students. I can't imagine how hard it must be for them and their families being here with everything going on there. So scary and sad. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Sana, please pray for my friend Annie, who is not well and needs God's guidance now. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Dawn, please pray for our neighbor and good friend David, who died suddenly after an operation. Please also pray for his wife Jean, his children, and grandchildren. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Katie, for the people in Greece, Turkey, and Algeria with all the devastating wildfires and flooding. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Sana, amen and ashe. From Elizabeth, prayers also for the life of Danny Cantor, who died this week at age 28, and prayers for his parents and his sister. May his memory be a blessing. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Laura, prayers of thanksgiving for all my family being together again and spending some much needed time together. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Sana, please pray for everyone returning to school and the leaders who make policies that can cause harm or protect them. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Megan, prayers for the people of Haiti who have suffered another devastating earthquake. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Peter, prayers for the people of Lebanon, where my parents are during this harshest crisis. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Kristen, for my 19-year-old daughter, Ellie, who is struggling with chronic pain. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, we lift up also our prayers that are unspoken, that remain in our hearts, for those hopes and sadnesses that remain unspoken today. God, in your mercy, hear our hearts.
Thank you, Gwyneth, and thanks to all who shared in this way. There's a lot that has been shared, a lot of pain and difficulty that we've been, that we're remembering and voicing today. And so we come together to lift up all these prayers in our hearts and our grieving and our joy as well. So let's sing together as we bring all these prayers before God, both spoken and unspoken.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, children, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, children, let's go down, down to the river to pray. Oh, children, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, children, let's go down, down to the river.
Gracious God, we are sitting here with a lot on our hearts, and the sacredness, the holiness of each prayer that was shared, each life, every situation that we have mentioned and lifted up is precious to you. And so, God, we just take a moment here to realize and recognize the sacredness of your world and your people in this world and all living things. Oh God, we ask for your Spirit's guidance in our lives today, and that you would lead us ever deeper into your path of love, your way of love, even when that way is costly to us. Help us, God, in all of the places we find ourselves in. Speak to our hearts today where we need comfort and assurance. Oh God, meet us there. Where we need nudging and challenge, oh God, we're open. All of these prayers we lift up to you, and we thank you that when the disciples asked, how do we pray? You gave us words. You gave us a way and words to say. And so God, we pray these old words that are new again today in the prayer that you taught us, saying together, our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's face turn toward you and give you peace.
Let's sing that again.
The Lord bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. May God's face turn toward you and give you peace. Before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. God is with you, God is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. God is for you, God is for you.
Friends, the blessing has already been sung, but let me just repeat those words to us again. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. And may God's love fill your heart and surround you and keep you as you go into this world following Christ. Amen.